DJ, it's always great to have our next guest on. Now, usually we talk about the Seahawks with him because he's the host of Mitch Unfiltered, but I feel like let's talk Kraken instead today. Please welcome to the show, Mitch Levy.
You know, Mitch Unfiltered is not Seahawks Unfiltered. Mitch Unfiltered is sports, is non-sports, is life. So I don't want any of your people to get the wrong idea that when we live in Loserville, as we like to call it, which is exactly... I went to my first Kraken game the other day, BJ. Friday night. Have you been to a Kraken game, BJ?
I have not seen one live yet, so you did that before I did.
Dude, yeah, I saw the picture of you with the jersey on. You had Mitchie the kid on the back, and I was like all pumped for you. And then I remember at the end of that game, I was in bed watching it, and I was like, not to make it weird that I'm thinking of you while I'm in bed, but I was thinking of you, and all I thought was, man, he got to go to a really crappy game. I hope he still had fun, though.
I was at a game... And I don't know much. Look, I don't know much about hockey, but I was at a game. First of all, let me say a few things. For the Climate Pledge Arena, I think a lot of credit. I'm sure you guys have talked about it with Migsy. A lot of credit. I am not. By the way, I am not a proponent of the NBA in that arena. As much as that arena is gorgeous, I've been for a long time kind of a Soto guy. I want to see the NBA get its own arena. The NBA team that comes to Seattle hopefully has an expansion team in a couple of years. So, but that. All that being said, that place is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I wish everybody all the best. Congratulations to the Leiwickies and to the Bondermans and to the Bruckheimers and all the people that made that arena possible. It is spectacular. It really is a gorgeous place to go watch. And it'll be a gorgeous place to go watch an NBA team as well if an NBA team decides to play there, right?
If it happens, Mitch, I don't know of any NBA sharing hockey city that has two separate arenas, one for basketball and
Arizona.
Arizona doesn't play in the same joint?
No, I don't believe it.
There's a few of them, and it's becoming more and more prevalent.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
The Clippers, Steve Ballmer is getting ready to move out of I was going to call it the Staples Center, but it's now the crypto.com arena.
Right.
They're getting ready to move out of it. Yeah, the question for the NBA, and this is not even a whole nother segment. This is a whole nother show for BJ and Migsy. But the question is, will an NBA owner who forks over $3 to $3.5 billion for an expansion team, is he going to want to go into a sharing situation? Take that NBA team into a sharing situation with somebody else, whether it be the Kraken or, you know, whatever it is. So that's going to be the question, but that's for another day. They did BJ, you got to go. They did a phenomenal job with that place. It's really spectacular.
Isn't it a trip to walk in expecting to be in the Key Arena because of the roof? But when you walk in, you're like, this is a whole different place.
It's funny. It's incredibly different. Now, they were down. They were literally down the night that I went Friday night, BJ. They were down 7-0 before you could finish your first beer, your first $25 beer. They were down 7-0.
It was the worst game of the season.
Yeah,
it
really was
terrible. I mean, and I don't know, but I was just thrilled. It's funny because I looked around me. The place was full. Everybody was excited. They were down 7-0. It was like a kill amongst kills, and yet you could just sense that everybody there was like, we've got a hockey team. So now my question for you is, how long does that honeymoon last to where in 7-0 games I'm looking around and people are going, screw you, let's get out of here, I'm not paying the ticket. I mean, how long does that honeymoon last?
I feel like you at least got a season of that. It was insane, though, because they score a goal and the place erupted like as if they just tied the game.
You weren't there. You were in bed. That's right.
I was watching it. I heard even the players say a big part of why they played so hard in the next game was that they didn't want to let the fans down again. They just appreciated how much they were still there with them until the final buzzer in a game where they lost like 7-3.
Well, to give your audience the analogy, for lack of a better word, it was 7-0. So it was like the Seahawks were down 49-0, right? That's probably the analogy. 7-0 is probably 50-0. Now think about a football team that's down 50-0 that in the final quarter or the final few minutes of the game scores a couple of touchdowns to make it 50-0. First of all, there's nobody there left. to sure. even watch it. Second of all, there's no tangible reaction in a football game when your team is down 50-0 and they score a couple late touchdowns. When the Kraken scored those three goals, I swear to you, when they scored those three goals late in the game, it was like they were getting killed. You would have thought that they were coming back to win. The people were still there. They're partying. They're high-fiving. Beers going up. It was like a party when they scored the three goals, being down 7-0. So it was great. But I have a question for Migs. BJ, you might know a lot more about hockey than I don't
oh,
know.
Steve's
hockey.
The guy. Steve's your boy for hockey.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hate to ask you, Migsy, questions that you don't know, but I grew up in Florida before in the 70s when we didn't even know what hockey was. We didn't know what ice was in Florida. So I'm relatively new to the game. I've been to other NHL games in Boston and in Buffalo and what have you. But here are my two questions. I have two questions. First of all, on the icing, on the icing deal. Okay. I know that you can't beat the puck into the across the blue line, right? If you're on offense, you can't cherry pick in basketball where you stand on the other side of the court, get a rebound, and they throw it down to you. You can't be down there, right?
Right. No, the puck has to go over first
in hockey. That's
ice. And that's offsides right, so when that, it doesn't do it that way, right, Steve?
You're right.
Okay, so you can't beat the puck into the blue. So let's assume your team is on the attack in the other team zone around their net. You've got your guys in there, and then the other team clears the puck. Okay, they clear it back across the blue line, and I'm hearing myself back. Hold on a second. Do I need to mute myself?
Yeah, you sound fine on our end.
You sound great. Okay. I mean, well, as great as you normally do. You know.
Now you've got all your guys. When the other team clears the puck back across the blue, and you still have all your offensive players around the net, are you now offsides? You're not offsides. They don't stop action, or do you? How does that work? Do you have to now leave real quickly? Everybody's got to go leave and then come back. How does that
work?
If
they clear it and it goes back outside of the offensive zone, then you have to come. You have to go back out, and the puck has to come back in first.
Okay, so everybody, you can't. So if it gets clear just outside the blue line, the guy who the Kraken guy who now has the puck. Mm-hmm. Just outside the blue line. He has to hold it, stay there until everybody comes back outside the blue line before you can go back in.
You'll see them kind of work the puck, pass it to some other guys until everything gets reset, and then they go back in.
I got it. Okay,
there's some like there's other little nuances. We'll get into the weeds on that, like where certain times it pops back in, it's still not offsides, but it's very rare.
Okay.
All right, so this is all really nice and everything as we avoid the gigantic elephant in the room. You know, thank you for the nuances and all the fun you had. That's wonderful.
Right, what did you eat at Climate Pledge? That's what BJ wants to know.
Yeah, that's episode 167 dropped. And sure, I bet you talked about your experience, you know, after your first Kraken game. But I feel like there was another topic of conversation too about yesterday's just abysmal football game played at at Lumen Field.
Yeah. I don't know really what to say. That game was probably in the Pete era, in the Pete Carroll era, the Russell Wilson era, call it what you want. You can go back and circle about three or four losses that really had you shaking your head, but this one was not only a head shaker, but it was one that prompts a lot of questions as to was it more than just a loss, BJ, yesterday? Did it feel like almost an end of an era loss?
Yeah, it did. And two things stand out, Mitch, for me.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett's press conference, or at least his conversation, on Fox 13 with Ian Furness. That and also Pete Carroll storming off of his press conference, then taking a shower and coming back. Which, by the way, Pete's a good dresser. I'll give him credit for that. I might want to ask him where he shops.
I never thought the coaches took showers after the games. That's kind of, I don't know why. Really, that's
And so,
think about that.
Two things had me believe that, Mitch, because Tyler, I mean, most of the press conferences were just like you know, the players always go, got to get better, it's on me, you know, we got to execute better, got to take it one day. But Tyler Lockett, who I love Tyler Lockett, because I think he's authentic when he gives an interview, positive, authentic, he said some powerful stuff yesterday.
I didn't see it. I didn't see
it.
Tell
me what you said. We'll talk about that after, of course, you know, you basically expound upon why you think it might be an end of an era, because I felt the same way you did. I thought, you know what, we are coming to the end of something. There's going to be some changes in the next year to 2 years. Big people that we've known and loved for a long time will not be on this team anymore.
Well, here's what I would say.
Or with this team anymore.
Here's what I would say, it's dangerous to react like this on a Monday after the 10th game of the season, right? They're 3-7, and they're probably, done. There's a lot of season to be played, and we'll see what feelings are like and how it ends up at the end of the year. What I would say to you guys is this is somewhat of a unique situation in terms of ownership. I don't really know Jody Allen very well. I don't know Burt Cold very well, who was the right-hand man of Paul Allen and now the right-hand man of Jody Allen. I know that there's an incredible relationship between Jody and Pete Carroll. I know that Pete Carroll has a lot of autonomy and a lot of power, and I don't think this is the usual, you know, New York Giants, Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots situation, which may mean that we're not in for the change that we think. But I think if this were an ordinary, usual setup, ownership management setup, I believe that you'd be right.
God, I hope you're not right, because then we're looking at the Mariners. You know what I mean?
I just think that there would be a lot of owners that would go to Pete Carroll I want to be careful because we are talking about Pete. As long as we're going to talk about Pete, I'm not a huge Pete Carroll guy. I've never really been, but we have to identify and acknowledge the era of Seahawks, the best era of Seahawks football, what he has done here.
Oh yeah.
It deserves a lot of praise and a lot of backslapping and a lot of positive thoughts. So it's a little bit tricky, but I believe in a normal setup of an NFL ownership management, I think an owner would say to Pete at the end of the year, I think it's over. It's time to move on. It's time for you to do something else. It's time for us to do something else. We need to move in a different direction. I believe that the Pete Carroll era would be over in most situations. But I don't think this is most situations. I think Pete Carroll is going to call his own shot, and he's going to retire when he wants to retire. He's going to walk away when he wants to walk away. And I don't get any sense that Jody Allen or Burt Cold are going to force Pete Carroll out the door. So that's Pete Carroll. And I think once you start with Carroll, then Schneider is kind of attached at the hip with Carroll. And then you ask about the quarterback, the three guys, right?
Yeah.
Schneider, Pete Carroll, and Russell Wilson. Now you might say it's time to move on from Russell Wilson. Well, that's, as you guys know, that's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to just give away a franchise as bad as he's played the last 2 weeks, and he has been bad for probably a couple of reasons. You're not going to just give him away in the offseason. So you got two factors. Remember, there's two major factors in play with Russell Wilson's future in Seattle. Number one, he's got to agree to any trade. Okay, he's got to agree. If he doesn't agree, there is no trade. And he gave them four teams last time. Four. There's 32 teams, 31 others in the NFL. He gave them four. Now, he's probably going to give them, if he goes down that route again, he'll probably give them a very small number of teams. Now, the Seahawks have to decide, can we do a deal with one of those four? A deal that brings back the proper compensation for this commodity. Russell Wilson is a commodity. And if they don't get it, if they don't get what they feel is right for Russell, they're not just going to give him away. So the idea on this Monday after their seventh loss, that there's definitely change coming. I would agree with you. There's a good chance that one of the big three or two of the big three will be gone. I also think you've got to allow for the possibility that a year from now, the three of us are talking about the same thing all over again, mm-hmm. with Schneider, with Carroll, and with Russell Wilson.
Except we have a miserable record and we have no draft picks to benefit from that
Correct.
Miserable record. I mean,
Correct.
this is a horrific season. Everything they've done. I mean, Jamal Adams, what a horrific mistake. I mean, really, a horrific mistake, which, again, this is why the big three irritate the hell out of me. They don't know what they want. They don't know if they want to be offensive-minded. They don't know if they want to be defensive-minded. And Russell Wilson is the kind of quarterback that it can't run around anymore or whatever scheme they're giving him. He's not the guy he was 10 years ago who made magic. He's just not. He gets sacked all the time, doesn't seem to run around anymore. And, yeah, I mean, he stinks throwing the ball, but, I mean, Mitch, like you said, there's a couple of reasons. I'm sure, obviously, the injury is one of them. He'll come back. He won't be that bad. But it doesn't matter because he's always getting killed anyway, and he's getting older. He's going to be – so for that guy to be pounded as much as he ages, no matter how good his regimen is – It is just, there's not a good future here. And we can't have the defense like we used to have because we're paying Russell all that money. And apparently we're never going to get an offensive line. And we don't, and also, we don't seem to have the kind of blocking wide receivers and fullbacks like we used to have that made the running game a little better. I mean, I just don't think we have that kind of team that we had, you know, when we had, the so-called mediocre wide receivers that we had, you know, but they were great blockers.
Let's talk about why you don't have... You just made a comment that I'm going to take exception with.
Okay.
Which is, we don't have the great defense, we don't have the great blockers, because Russell Wilson, the quote was, Russell Wilson's making a lot of money. Which in part, in theory, is true. But you got to remember, let's remember the reason why we're in this... The biggest reason... We're in this situation for a bunch of reasons. Let's remember the biggest reason why we're in this situation. When you have a quarterback making a lot of money, which you really want, right? You want the franchise quarterback. As much as you hate to pay him $40 million a year or $35 million a year and take that money up against the cap, you want that situation because you need your franchise quarterback, and franchise quarterbacks make a lot of money. But here's the deal, BJ. If you have the franchise quarterback making a lot of money, the only way for your organization to be healthy and successful and to win is you must draft well. You must draft well. Because those are the guys that are playing on the cheap, right? Those are the guys that aren't taking a lot of money. Go back over the last 8 years and look at the first guy picked, whenever that was, the first guy that this team picked in every draft. The first guy they pick in the second round or the first round when they're trading around. So that guy has got to be a solid contributor. And they are literally like 1 for 8 in their last 8 first picks. That's the reason we're here. The reason that he doesn't have a good offensive line, the reason that you are frustrated like you are with the defense, is because they keep drafting guys that either don't play, they get hurt. When they do play, they're not very good. They get on ATVs and they get in accidents and go somewhere else. They have concussions the first week of the season and they disappear for the next 6 weeks like this Eskridge guy. They trade out of the pick. Then go back to the Jamal Adams. The Jamal trade, now they don't have those picks to screw up. And they don't even have the picks to screw up. The issue...
That's a good point. Like, what does it even matter?
That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We are here because the Seahawks have done a crap job in drafting and adding young talent, young cheap talent, to this team around Russell Wilson the last several years of the NFL draft. That's
Let me throw this at you, Mitch, because this was talked about last night during Tyler Lockett's press conference, which was amazing, because Tyler said, he said, we are studying film, and teams are not doing what they're doing on film. They're playing completely different against us. And Tyler said this has been a thing that he's noticed over the last few weeks. And then when that, right after that was done, the Fox 13 crew, you got Jordan Babineau, Dave Wyman, and Aaron Levine are all saying, so does that mean they know what the Seahawks are doing? The Seahawks are very predictable, so they just basically do a special... They know exactly what to do against the Seahawks. It's not that difficult to plan against the Hawks. That's what they were wondering. Is that what that means? Is that the Seahawks are so predictable and so really unscary that these teams just play a different game against us because they know exactly what to do against us, and they don't do anything that they do that they show on film, which means it's almost impossible to prepare for a team coming in because they're not going to play the way the film shows them to play because we're as bad as we are. That was an interesting comment by Tyler Lockett saying it's like teams are not playing the way they're playing on film, and what does that mean?
You know, I think I'm sure there's a lot of credibility and a lot of truth to what Tyler says. I think on some level, it's a little bit of paralysis by analysis. I think when you take a step back and you look at the, I'm assuming we're talking about the Seahawks offense because Tyler Lockett's a wide receiver and them being so predictable. But I mean, think about it for just a second. They've got a lousy offensive line. We know that. They've got a quarterback who, for whatever reason, is limited right now. He's not the old Russell Wilson. He's just a, right now, Russell Wilson is a run-of-the-mill quarterback until he brushes the rust off and gets the finger to 100%. So they've got a run-of-the-mill quarterback at the moment. They've got a lousy offensive line. That's drafting right there. That's drafting. And they've got their top running back out. Right?
Yeah.
So that, what are they left with? They're left with two pretty talented receivers. Metcalf, very, very talented. And Tyler Lockett, very talented. A couple of good tight ends. They've got some tight ends. But they are severely limited. They're playing with one hand behind their back. So, yeah, do other teams know what they're going to do? Do other teams, is it easy to prepare for the Seahawks offense right now? Yeah, I would like to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL that gets to prepare for a run-of-the-mill quarterback, a lousy offensive line, and a third or second string running back. I think you could be a defensive coordinator in the NFL, BJ.
I'm ready.
Preparing for something like that. So I think, yeah, is there some truth to what Tyler Lockett said? I'm sure. But at the end of the day, they're just so limited right now. They don't do anything very well, BJ. They just don't do anything very well.
So we punt well.
Yeah, our punting is pretty
good. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do punt
well. Punting is awesome.
I wish we didn't punt as much.
But when we do, it's fantastic.
When we do punt, we punt well.
Well, look, man, there's still seven games left. Yes, there is a chance, but so much has to happen. So much has to happen. And the sad thing is that it's the Minnesota and the New Orleanses of the world that even if we do really, really well, they beat us. Both of them beat us. And currently they're both in the last two out of the three spots of the wild card. So it's just like, and I can't see us ever catching the Rams. I mean, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Let's start by winning Louisville. How about the Huskies? Now, I know that the Kraken won last night, but we just start with a Husky, Seahawk, or Kraken win? Just a win. Let's win a game in Louisville.
Something.
How about that?
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So Mitch Unfiltered, episode 167, is available right now wherever you get podcasts. Also at MitchUnfiltered.com. We will talk to you next Tuesday since we have a Monday night game.
And, Real quickly, I want to say something to you guys. You guys are jokesters. We have a lot of fun. It's Thanksgiving week this weekend.
Yes, this week.
And I want you guys to know, I think I've told you this many times in the past. I want you to tell you again. You guys took a chance on me a couple years ago. You've given me an opportunity. I am really, really grateful to be on with you guys on Mondays and whenever you want me and so forth. Just thank you. Thank you to you and your entire staff for welcoming me back to Seattle Radio. It's great. It's great to be with you.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, you're right. This is the week of, hey, what am I grateful for? Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Thanks, man. We're glad that we're glad to do it. I feel about you, and I again will say it amazes me I know it's by choice, but still, I think if I were a company, I'd still try to pull you back on the radio, even though you're doing a great job and doing what you want to do.
That's not why I brought this up.
Well, I'm thankful that you call me Mitzi because it makes me think I'm in a hockey locker room again. So I always appreciate when you say that.
Yeah, I know that's not why you brought it up, Mitch, but I mean, it's easy to offer you this, to be this. And magnanimous because you're a great talent and you add to our show because, well, you're great at what you do. I mean, I think I know what I'm talking about, but everybody knows I don't. So it's a good thing that we have you. So our pleasure to have you on, Mitch. Have a great holiday. And we'll talk about that Washington football team
next Tuesday. Yeah. Next Tuesday. Thank you, guys. Happy Mitch Thanksgiving Unfiltered. To all of you. Thank you.
Yeah. You too,
Happy
my man.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. MitchUnfiltered.com. That's where you want to go. Get the latest podcast, and you can be miserable listening to all the reasons why it is the way it is.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.